This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Guys, welcome to Knife Talk. It's a podcast for knife makers, knife enthusiasts, DIYers. If you're into knife making or collecting, or you just have a interest in how things are made or done, or you have questions, we're with you. I'm Jeff Fader of Fader Knives. I'm here with Mareko Momasi, Momasi Fire Arts. And the rock star isn't here. Craig Lockwood is on a jet. He's got his glasses on, his scarf on. He's got probably one of them wallet chains hanging out from his pocket. He's got a drink in his hand. He's about to get a stewardess is filling his glass up, and he ain't here.
Saggy so black skinny jeans.
Yeah, wearing skinny jacket. Jeans. Whatever it takes. We're with you, though. Don't worry about that. We got you. He's got you. He'll be back with plenty of stories. Mareko.
Yo.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just trying to get some shit done before Maker Camp. I got this collaboration blade I was talking about last week that it's close. I just need to finish the hand sanding, get the blade marked, get the blade etching. While the blade's etching, I'm going to be doing some handle sculpting. Hopefully I don't fuck anything up while I'm trying to work double duty. I got to go pick the kid up, and then I got to take him to music class.
Oh, nice.
And then I got to come home, cook dinner. So I actually
won't be able to. That's called second shift.
I won't be able to get back into the shop until about 7 tonight.
All right. But that's called the second shift.
All right. I'm all right with it.
All right.
I did it last night. I'll do it again.
So when do you leave for Maker Camp? We're talking Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday the 8th, October 8th.
Right. So I leave Thursday afternoon, flying out of Portland. Got some pretty good flights out of there. And then we land in Newark, and then we drive up. That's been our gig the last couple of years. I guess this is our third year. And the drive up's usually not too bad. It's in the evening. By the time we get to the car, it's whatever. It's late. A lot of the rush hour is over. So driving through Jersey at that point isn't too bad. But fuck, I'll tell you, driving from Newark, there are so many junctions,
dude,
between Newark Airport and like the main drag that takes you north.
It's 287.
It's crazy.
Don't get me fucking started on Newark. Newark is bad news. It's like, and GPS for some reason fucks you up and you end up in the Lincoln Tunnel half the time on the way to New York. Trust me, New Jersey, driving in New Jersey is for the birds. That's a fact.
So I'm looking forward to it, though. I'm really excited. I'm trying to think what
else is
going on.
It'll be great to see you. It'll be great to see you and your family, as always.
It'll be great to see you. Give you a big old hug and kiss.
I'm glad you bring your family. I always like seeing your family, talking to your wife and seeing your son grow. It's really great.
Yeah. He's a beast now. He's huge. He's huge.
Wow.
Yeah. He's like up to my shoulder.
Really?
Big old kid, yeah. Yeah, he's growing fast.
Wow.
But, yeah, other than that, I think, I don't know. It's exciting. Chris Zeppieri posted about being at the Lincoln booth or tent, and I showed that to the kid, and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna come over and learn how to weld.
I like how you put, like, a little bit of accent on Chris's name.
It's because I was just in Italy recently,
right?
A couple months ago, so now I pretend like I speak with an Italian accent.
Yeah. No, he's from fucking Long Island. I don't think he throws in any accent. That's why he calls. That's why he tells people his name is Chris Zepp.
Well, I mean, our friend Alfredo, the end of his name is very similar, and so Facciapieri.
But Chris Zepp is from Long Island. He's just Chris Zeppieri. I'm gonna let him know that you threw some spin on the last name. That's important.
A little riz on that.
A little bit of riz.
What about you? What have you been doing? What are you doing?
I've been a wreck.
And oh my God.
Part of the reason why is I'm fucking tired. I twisted my knee a little bit last week, and now I'm getting back to normal.
Okay, so the 5K is gonna go really well.
It's gonna be fine. No, I was fooling around with the dogs. and then I twisted, and then there was like a weird feeling in my knee. So for the past couple of days, my knee's been weird, but now I'm feeling pretty good, and I'm not. It's just been on my mind, but I'm definitely doing the 5K. I'll be there Sunday morning. I don't know whatever's going to happen. I don't even know what now. There's this new. We had one hurricane.
Right.
Now we got another one. Milton is headed towards Florida. I've been on the phone with my sisters who are in Sarasota, and it's headed right towards Tampa.
Straight towards them. Yeah.
So that's very stressful. And I know that Brian House is boarding up his shop like General Patton with the cigar coming out of his mouth.
Hanging out of his face.
He's like boarding.
I'm trying to figure out what he's trying to do, like what he's doing with that cigar. Does he think he's Arnold Schwarzenegger?
He claims he doesn't smoke it. He claims he just sticks it in his mouth, but it's just like, I mean, you know, it's just also like a fucking sweaty, wet cigar in his mouth. It's just weird. It's like, you know, I just picture it like being fucking just gross, like this saliva filled.
He probably just has a lollipop jammed into the back of it. And
I don't
just
know.
Sucking
what he, I don't know what he has, but it's like it's quite. He's curated quite a look. But hopefully we're going to see him on. Hopefully this weather doesn't affect him too much. So we'll see him up there and we'll fool
Fingers
around.
Crossed.
But I got like a knife making dilemma. I have like this weird dilemma that it's like it's not. It's just like. I had to go get some liquid nitrogen because we do the cryo for the AEBL, and it makes a difference. And I bought a Dewar maybe 8 years ago from Rick Dunkerley. He sent me an old Dewar, and I've been filling. The first time I filled it up, I was like, "Oh, it was a 20-liter Dewar," and I was like, "Oh my god, it's so expensive." So I wasn't really for years. I wasn't using the Dewar, and I've talked about it in the past. And I started to realize that we were doing more AEBL. A lot of it's because of we're getting better results, and I like this steel very much. I get good results from it, and the labor from between that and 440C is incredibly different. Like 440C hand sanding, 440C grinding, 440C is a disaster, and AEBL everything about it's great, but it's just like we have had to make the decision to kind of invest in liquid nitrogen, and liquid nitrogen doesn't last very long. So I'm trying to figure out ways in which to, you know, make it last. My Dewar's good. It holds it for a number of months. I think I probably get a Dewar filled three times a year, I'd say. I think I can get three times a year out of the Dewar.
Wow.
So the place
at
I
what,
go...
like 150 a pop or what?
We're going to get there, and it's way more than 150 a pop.
Oh, shit.
So when you have a Dewar and you go to a place, I used to go to a place that was not far from me, and then they stopped for filling with liquid nitrogen, and then I found this place that's actually right next to a lumber yard that I get a lot of stuff from. So if I'm going to get some lumber down there, wood or something like that, I'll make a trip of hitting two places at the same time. It's even that far, but so
you building tiny houses on the side or what?
No, I'm handle material. I got the local.
Whoa.
Local
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I mean, what am I going to call it? Timber, like the fucking Australians? When I buy my timber, I'm from New York and get some fucking wood.
No, New Yorkers saying timber means something else.
Timberlands, isn't it? Never mind. So we were Timberlands are shoes, by the way. All right. So I go get I got this welding supply shop, and every time I go in there, they give me a different price. And part of it is like if they were to do letter of the law, 20 liters would cost $260 for 20 liters. The price has gone up. And then if they like me, they all charge me for 15 liters or even I've gotten charged for 10 liters.
Wow.
So 10 liters turns into $120.
Right.
And then 15 liters. No, that's not 100. 15 liters. They'll charge me. Like $205, basically, whatever, you know, $50, I guess it's $50 every 5 liters. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe more, probably more. So it's fucking random. It's how they feel about me at the time. So like there have been times where he's given me the fucking, you know, the shank, you know, and I'm nice and I've been with this company for a while. I have a MIG tank on a lease with them. They know me, but then they pretend like they don't know me. Like every time I come in, they look at me like they've never seen me before, which is like, how many knife makers in come in there. Just the whole, they're like fucking around with me.
Right.
So the last time I went, they found out that I had an account with them, and they charged me for 10 liters. So that's like half the price. I mean, that's right, half that's price. It's like awesome, $120. Go in this time. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to get the 10 liter. They're only going to charge you for 10 liters. I go in. Turns out the guy was eating lunch, and I walked in. It was one, and I figured, all right, well, I go in there one. He's eating at lunch. He says, go finish your lunch. Don't rush it, because at the same time, I don't know what the – I'm not going to give these guys money. You know, I'm not going to tip them out to, like, give me the deal. There's no, like, wink, wink. There's no – I'm at the fucking mercy of these guys. So the guy's eating lunch. I says, go eat some lunch. I'll just walk around. I walked around. He's like, all right, I guess I'll have to fill your leader, lure, your doer. And I'm just like, oh, God, what does that mean? It's like wheel of fortune. Spin the wheel of what you're going to pay. You know, I'm going to pay 10, I'm going to pay for 15, or I'm going to pay for 20. So he gives it to me, and he charges me, all right, that'll be $215. And I was like, oh, he's charging me for a lot more. And I said, well, just out of curiosity, is the price of liquid nitrogen change? And he goes, depending on how much I charge you for. I only charge you for 15 liters. As in, like, just be fucking happy I gave you a discount at all. And part of me is just like, well, what the fuck do I say? I want the good discount every time. I can't fucking, I don't want to be paying $260 for a doer if I can help it. I can't fucking just slip the dude some money. I can't say to him, like, last time you charged me, only charged me for 10. I mean, he's already given me, it's a fucking mess. So, like, when I go down there now, there's a $100 range that I don't know, man. And it's based on this guy's fucking attitude. And it's like,
the same guy every time? No. You said it's different.
It's different. The first time it was a good dude, and he charged me for 10 liters. And then the rest of the time it's been this guy who, I don't know, man. And the weird thing is he pretends like he doesn't recognize me. I've never seen you before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm at the and I thought, well, what can I do? Should I bring him in a fucking some donuts? Is he the donut job? And then I'm just like, maybe that's begging too much. And then I don't know, man. I'm very good at reading situations and navigating and squirming my way out of weird things, and usually things work out. I am totally 100% baffled by what I'm supposed to do with this fucking guy, because it turns into from $110 to $260.
Right.
And I don't know. And I fucking don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I can't go anywhere else. Because the other thing is like, if I go somewhere else, they might not give me any discount. And it's $260 all the way. But then this guy's playing with my fucking emotions. You know, it's like, it's frankly, it's like, imagine you're going down to get some stuff that you know what the price should be.
Right.
But you just don't know. And then when the bill comes, you know what it kind of should be. And you got it good the last time, but you might get it terrible the next time. And there's no rhyme or reason. There's no loyalty. There's nothing. I got nothing, dude. I don't know what to do, frankly.
I think, unfortunately, I think you kind of just got to roll with it.
I got to roll the dice.
Yeah.
I hate rolling the dice. I'm like really good at not rolling
dice. I think just go in
dice.
There expecting nothing. Go in there expecting to pay the upfront $240 or $260. $260. And then if you get a discount, boom, you feel great.
I think you're right. But at the same time, I know that I've been down to the 120 range.
I know. It's been a 120. It's a law of averages kind of situation.
Well, you start to figure out how many knives you can do in a doer, and then all of a sudden you just kind of like calculate, you know, if I can get 100 knives out of a doer, that's good.
I mean, it's the same kind of thing if you go buy knife handle material from a show. Sometimes you get really good prices, sometimes you don't, and you just got to average it out across everything.
I think you're right. I hate it.
And you just got to, like, obviously you don't have the relationship with these guys like you do with the post office, so you just got to fucking not take it personally, go in there, meaning business. If they hook you up, fucking great. If not, you're expecting it, and there's no disappointment.
I think I know what the problem is. The first time I went there, his boss came in and started to help me out. And his boss gave me the big discount. He only charged me for 10 liters instead of 20 liters. And then he started breaking the guy's balls, who now gives me the the liquid nitrogen.
And it's like a drug dealer. It's like you got a taste. You got excited. Well, you got a taste, and then you got to start paying full price.
But here's the problem. Like, the boss, who I thought I would be dealing with every time, now he broke the guy's balls in front of me. He's like, what do you do? The guy was having his lunch, and he goes, and he said, the boss says to the guy who I deal with now, and maybe you could skip a lunch or two, you know what I mean? You know, he's just breaking his balls. So then I'm laughing because it's funny. And then maybe the guy who gives me the discount is like, I remember when you made fun of how fat I am. And I'm not going to forget it. So I'm going to like keep you on your toes, and maybe you're going to get it good this time. Maybe you're not.
And the lesson today, kids, is don't body shame motherfuckers, because you never know who's going to be in charge of charging you prices.
I just laughed. I laughed, and it was funny, and he was very funny, and it was like, I thought it was, you know, mild-mannered, but, you know, obviously I'm at the mercy of this guy who says he doesn't remember me, but I know that he does. There's just no way he doesn't remember me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the dilemma. This is the $100 swing.
Right.
Just hate it. I hate the drive, knowing there's a $100 swing, and it's like there's no rhyme or reason.
Okay, I just looked up while you were doing all that. I looked up ultra low temperature freezers.
Okay,
and small one, 3 cubic feet, is, or actually there's a 5 cubic foot. I don't know why it's the price difference, but anyways, it's $5,000.
Oh,
so that's a kick in the teeth. It would take 6 years at the $260 prices three times a year, and take you 6 years to pay that off. And there's no fuckery. There's no back and forth.
You also have to pay for the electrical. So, I mean, I'm sure that you're paying
true.
To
it
run.
Uses, well, it, to a, yeah, to a point.
You
I
can't.
Think.
I mean, I don't think you can turn it on and off. And then there's maintenance. And then, I mean, a 5G's. I just can't. I can't do it. You know.
Well, then
I
be happy with the fucking liquid nitrogen guy.
I just got to deal with it. This is
a
situation that I'm not used to. This where I can't like negotiate or navigate my way through this tricky spot. And it's like every fucking time I think to myself, "All right, he gave me the good deal. You're gonna give me the good deal now." Hey, look, he gave me $60 off, but at the same time, he could have given me $100 off. You know.
Maybe
what I mean?
Maybe you look into doing dryo. The dry ice. And
it's the same place.
Alcohol.
The dry ice is the same place.
That's
and
fine.
I don't think that the
what does that matter?
The, I can't. It's, well, it's going to be the same guy. If I buy dry ice, it's going to be at the same. The closest dry ice is the same person.
Right, but
so,
it's less of a kick in the teeth. And when you need it, you can just get it whenever.
But it's far away, and it's it's like 30-45 minutes away. It's long enough that it's not worth me going. And I don't know if it's. I don't know how long it lasts, and I have the Dewar, and we got it going on with the Dewar. The Dewar I can get, you know, like I said.
No,
like
dry ice is day of.
Oh, yeah. I'm not that organized. Okay. We're on a drive to fucking White Plains. And like,
oh, shit.
You know.
You got to drive all the way down to White
Plains. Yeah. It's like 40, 35 minutes. That's why I go to the Lumberyard, too. So I try to hit two places. Ugh, this is
Wait, do
talk.
You drive that route that's like that nice wooded route around the lake and stuff?
No.
Is that a river?
No,
there?
I go direct.
I go direct.
It's a terrible drive. Everything about it's bad. It's like a big waste of my time. And I'm at the mercy of what are we gonna do? Listen to the listener of this podcast, I'm finally telling you a dilemma that I don't need help with. I think I'm gonna deal with I don't need people to give me suggestions. I know some of our listeners are
going to
say,
you're cutting them off right now. Don't send them any message.
Our listeners are gonna say, like, bring him to the back and jerk him off or something like that. That's
you know
what our listeners. That's this kind of shit our listeners.
You got to bring him a summer sausage every time you go in there.
Hey yo,
a sushi platter. Because you think about it, you spend $20 on a sushi platter or a summer sausage, you'd be like, "Ooh, that's good." He cut it right in half right there. You'll save $120 for the cost of one summer sausage.
I'm just going to have to fucking figure something out. I'm just going to have to, like, knuckle up. And this dilemma is sponsored by Even Heat Manufacturers, the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-shield.com. Check out the solid-state drive. Check out the new independent temper oven. We're gonna see Spence and the guys at Even Heat at Maker Camp, and we'll look forward to seeing them. Yeah, Spence will be there. Spence loves it. That's his favorite thing. Sometimes he brings his wife and his son, and it's really cool.
His wife is a riot, dude.
Yeah, they're great.
So funny.
They just got married. Yeah. I think they got a kid on the way. It's very exciting.
Oh, that's right.
Good old Even Heat. Even, and she might not be there. So who knows? We'll see. But my man's Spence will be there, and even he to the finest of them all. So we can do whatever you want. I mean, I think we've covered my dilemma. I think that it's just like, it's tough shit, Jeff, is the answer. And that's just the way it is. You know, or Fingal Ferguson talks about talking to the guys who, you know, see if we can get some of that bull sperm, those bull sperm guys horse sperm guys who get the dry.
Pour off a little bit of theirs.
Yeah, get a little. Yeah.
get a little off from this.
Get a little to go sperm. Cup. Go to the sperm house with a little to-go cup and a little Stanley cup.
Yeah. Just a Stanley bullet.
you might get a little pour off. I need a little bit of pour off. Oh, what for, sir? Don't worry about that. You know? So
Jesus Christ.
Hilarious. All right, guys. If you want to send us your questions, your dilemmas, your feedback. All you have to do is go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. That's where you can interact with the show, send us your ideas, send us your dilemmas, whatever it is, and we will read them off and try to answer them as best we can. So the first one, would you like to take it, Mareko?
No, I was going to say, before when we've had an event coming up, we've done kind of a predictive thing about what might happen at the event.
Oh, okay.
So who are you looking forward to seeing? I mean, I'm sure you're looking forward to see everybody. I'm excited to see, and I'm not playing favorites, but like obviously the Modern Forge guys. Victor's psyched to see Jimmy, and I don't know. I think it's going to be fun. I'm going to try to be a good boy and go to bed every night before midnight.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Because I have a bad habit of staying up way too late because I'm like, I'm going to miss out on something. FOMO is a real fucking problem for me.
Really?
But I feel like I feel like an absolute wreck the next day. Yeah. So.
I am looking forward to, obviously, I mean, the main reason why I go is to see my friends, seeing you. I'm always glad that you're there, and John, Ariane, and Cliff, and Jesse, and Carrie. It's always good to see them. Yeah. It'll be good to see Chris Cash. It's always good to see Chris Zepp and Derek from Malden, and it's always good to see Jimmy, and then there's a lot of other people. Ben Sechrist, I'm looking forward to seeing him. He's a good dude. He's and all the Broadbeck guys. It's a good group. I'll be honest with you. It's a totally different environment than Blade Show, and it's much more chill. Yes. I think Joyce Cuddy's going to be there.
I think so.
And she just was on your show, Artisans of Steel.
Yeah, she was just on posted. The Artisans of Steel podcast. Yeah, I just posted that yesterday. She's awesome. It was a great conversation, and I'm excited to see her. You know, you said Steve Pellegrino, right? You must have.
Oh yeah, of course. Steve
Pellegrino. And the food, like the food those guys do with Will Shear is fucking awesome. It's always so good and such a treat. And so
let's just hope that the weather's good because like last year
the weather's supposed to be pretty good.
The weather last year was
it's bad. A fucking train wreck.
It was really bad. So hopefully we'll have a good time. I'm sure we'll have a good time. I'm trying to get more. My baseball guys. Hopefully, we'll be able to see some playoff baseball somewhere because playoff baseball has been unbelievable, and I have been chirping and being chirped at by our Baltimore friends. Matt Stagmer and Matt Harris have a thing with me, and they berate me, but I berate them back. And then I know that I speak with Jesse Killian a lot about the Phillies. Mm. So hopefully, and then Ben, hopefully maybe there's a place we can watch some. It would be fun to do a...
There's the bar underneath the cafeteria.
We'll see if there's a playoff baseball going on. That would be a lot of fun. So that would be fun.
Maybe they can get a projector set up in the covered area.
I ain't asking those people that bar. That is a sketchy-ass bar. I'm not asking anything from them. You know what I'm saying? Let's get to the questions.
You go ahead and take the first one.
If you go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, you can send us your questions. This one comes from our man, Demaster A. I think it's Ollie. I don't think it's Demaster A, but I'm going to call him Demaster A. Or, yeah, let's go with Demaster. Damasteri? I don't know. I'm with you, Ollie. Hi, guys. I was on the market last week, and an old man and his grandson showed up. The old man said, "Look, boy, this is Damascus steel, the most beautiful steel in the world, and it never gets dull." Here's the dilemma. Ollie's saying, here's the dilemma. Should I leave the boy with this wrong info, or should I fall in the back of Grandpa? What do you guys think? Cheers and greetings from Central Europe, Ollie. So he's at a market. This old geezer brings his kid up. He says, this is Damascus steel. It never gets dull. What do you do?
Never gets dull.
What do you do?
I've had that happen lots of times before, and I just say, I say nothing.
Yeah.
I just say, I let the grand, the old man, have his little bit of glory with his kid, grandkid, and the kid's got, unless the kid really wants to know, he's like, oh, wow, is that actually possible? And then maybe you go into a spiel, but otherwise, if they're just fucking walking by, you just ignore it.
You let them go. You don't want to be a micromanaging nerd for some of these things. I mean, my opinion, like, well, actually, it's, sometimes it's like not worth it. Like, if they ask you, you could do this, is what I would do. Yeah, it's a little more complicated than that.
You said, but, well, actually, wrong, by the way.
What did I say?
You said, well, actually. You're supposed to say, well, actually.
Oh, well, I would be like, maybe a little
you
bit.
You turn into your Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah. What's wrong with all this? I don't know, man. My opinion is like, I don't get horned up about people trying to talk about. Frankly, I don't think I would like say to the. I wouldn't even try to. I let the grandpa have his glory, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, what are you gonna say? Actually, old man, you're fucking wrong, kid.
Don't listen to anything he's talking about, yo, geezer.
You know what you should be doing, kid? Listen to the knife talk. They got all the answers.
Yeah, kid, don't listen to your old man. You know, his grandpa, you don't know what he's talking about. Don't do that. Just let him go, Ollie. Let him go.
Yeah. No, no, no. I think Ollie needs to direct everybody to the Knife Talk podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what you could do,
just
Ollie,
like
is next time you say,
kid.
Well, the guys on Knife Talks have a different opinion. Listen here and give them the link. Oh, and then the next thing you know, it's just like, well, you know, then you get all squared away. I think, look. Do whatever you have to do. I don't feel the need to make a stink in a relationship between a grandfather and a grandson.
Yeah,
leave them alone. Give them say tip your hat. Pretend you don't speak English. Whatever they're speaking.
All right. This next one's from Leonardo Lee. He says, "Have you ever considered using an argon purged kiln for heat treating stainless? In theory, you wouldn't need foil or paint if there was no oxygen in the kiln." What do you think? Have you ever thought about that or tried it?
Oh, and then I'd have to deal with my guy again.
Exactly.
I'd be like, all right, now I'm going to roll the dice on the argon. Who knows what the fuck he's going to charge me? Oh, God. Can I just one more fucking thing? That, you know, the weirdest thing is for welding tanks, you cannot buy, well, at least in New York State, or I don't know what the fuck is going on. I cannot buy my tank of 7525. I have to lease it. Which is such a drag, but argon, you can buy argon tanks.
Oh,
it's fucking madness. It's so infuriating.
That's weird.
But I know that for some reason we're not. I'm not there. It's just I've been on the MIG welding lease tip for way too long. I don't even want to think about how many years I paid for this goddamn tank.
Oh my God.
And the thing is about the argon purge. I know that your guys over at Dragon's Breath Forge, your old guys, used to do that. And my opinion is if you're doing multiple if you're quenching multiple blades, and then as soon as you open the door, the second one might not get all the argon. It sounds like it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's probably not. You're probably running through a lot of argon too. Because when you're TIG welding, you hit the pedal, if you have a hand thing, you're opening and closing the nozzle. But
right.
If you're doing it with leaking into your forge or your kiln, I can't imagine it being efficient with the gas.
Yeah, so. I think the way it works. Yeah. So what you're saying, especially on a horizontal kiln. Yeah, the second you open that door that's on the side there, anything that's in there is just going to dump out.
Yeah.
If it's going to work, it's going to work in a kiln that is either or that's vertical, that you're opening from the top. So okay. Because that argon is going to be heavier than air, and so it's going to stay, it's not going to be perfect, but it will be better, more efficient in a kiln that you open from the top.
Well, let's just describe what to our listeners what he's talking about. So with stainless steel, you're using foil or this, we were talking about it last week, this kind of fake, this kind of like chemical paint that you paint on. And what it's doing is creating an oxygen-free environment for your stainless steel or for whatever. Even if you, you know, some people use it for regular steel because you're not, there's an oxygen-free environment that you're heat treating. And then there's no air and then you don't get scale and then there's no kind of carbon migration. So the idea is if you were to make a little hole in the side of your kiln and then have like a little bit of a drip of argon, the argon's going to displace the air and then you're going to have that that oxygen-free environment, pretty very much like the way when you're welding with a MIG welder or a TIG welder, you're creating a shielding like gas. Argon or 7525 is a shielding gas that makes an oxygen-free environment so the weld becomes a weld, not like this fucking puddle of disaster.
Right.
So the idea is can you do an argon drip and then to prevent there from being an oxygen free environment?
Yeah. So, yeah. So I would either orient my kiln. I actually have one of my even heats, the LB, on its back, but on bricks. It's like situated in a way so that any of the stuff that's going around the backside of it isn't being damaged at all.
Right.
So it's safely on its back and. And that way, I can open the kiln from the top rather than from the side if it was in a horizontal versus vertical orientation. And that would keep the gas, the purging gas, from leaking out every time you open it. And that would probably be the most efficient way. I would suggest not using argon because argon's fucking expensive. Nitrogen is much cheaper, much more affordable, and can accomplish the same thing. And what I would do, whichever one you're using, I would, as the kiln, you're turning the kiln on and you're warming it up, I would flood the kiln to fill it up at whatever, 20 PSI or whatever. And then I would dial it back to like 5. So like you're saying, it's just got a little drip to just keep it kind of full for any kind of whatever, wherever it might be leaking out. But again, it's going to be most efficient and most effective if the kiln is on its, if you're opening the kiln from the top, like a tea kettle or something like that, rather than from the side where it just dump out the side.
Dump right out.
Yeah.
It all sounds like a lot of work.
It does.
Frankly, especially if you're doing production, like, you know, if today I heat treated, some 52-100 and then I heat treated some AEBL and I was able to kind of move quickly without having to worry about like, you know, all the knives that were in foil were ready to go. I didn't have to like worry about, you know, the next round. What happens if, let's say you're on your second round of, and you want to make sure you're keeping some of that heat so you're not starting from zero. When do you put the knives in versus when you start the argon? And then it seems like it's a little too difficult for.
Yeah, I do think it would be a bit of a production to get it set up, but once you've got it dialed in, if you are doing production, it actually could be a pretty efficient way to do things. But
can't you get the same result with like those sand kilns?
The fluidized sand. And so they're actually, I think, at least my friend Will Brigham, the one he built, he's using nitrogen gas for that because it is so much more affordable and it accomplishes the same thing. The same goal.
There you go.
Purge oxygen.
So the answer, Leonardo Lee, is I'm going to not do that.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's a good idea. People do it. The next one comes from our friend Paul Jansen. Paul Jansen says, is it worth it to go through the legal process to register a business name? I just do this as a hobby, so it really isn't a business entity, and I don't want to pay a bunch of legal fees, but I also don't want to have different businesses using the same name. So
I don't know what legal fees he's talking about, but for Washington, or at least where I'm at in Washington State, you just have to pay like the local municipal government like $100 or something like that once a year to maintain your business name, and that's it. There's no legal anything involved with it.
What I responded to him with at the time was, it's really far, as far, how far do you want it to go? You know, and I, the interesting thing is like, we talk about a lot of the business end of this kind of knife talk, because that's where a lot of people go. But right. If you're just like someone who just wants to make their own artisanal work and then sell it with your name on it and the name of your forge, you're not really going to be suing people. You know what I mean? It's like, it's part of your, you know, it's just part of your, who you are. If you wanted to become a business, that's when things get a little bit different, because you're obviously trying to protect your brand, you're trying to protect your assets towards the future, mm-hmm. and you're trying to, you know, limit people, you know, infringing on who you are and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if you're not planning, if it's just a hobby, I don't think you should just, I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah.
I would just like, do your thing, live your life. But then if you decided you want to become Spyderco Jr., then things change, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. So I think you can go either way, at least for where I'm at. If you do want to register a business name, it's very little is involved. It takes about 10 minutes on the computer.
There are also like websites that kind of do all that shit for you. I know that when we started Fader Knives, we had to have a lawyer involved, because the lawyer wrote up our contract for me and the legal between me and my business partner.
Yes.
And then we ended up having to put our ad in a magazine that registered, you know, the ad in the magazine, or a newsletter was to... It was some sort of like, you know, one of these little special things you have to do in order to be a business. Stuff like that. We just paid it, you know, we pay whatever they told us to do, and we just did it. But we have bigger goals, you know. So
right.
If it was just me being a sculptor, I wouldn't have done any of it.
Yeah. Yeah. If this isn't your main thing, I would suggest not registering it, actually, because then the city's going to be wanting sales reports and shit from you. And that has a huge, like, quarterly taxes and all that shit. You probably wouldn't be paying them, but you would still have to go through and do all that shit. And it's a huge pain in the ass. And if you're not making, if it's not your main source of income, then it can be on the side as a hobby. And that's stuff that you don't really feel like there's some gray area in there and what you need to report and what you don't.
When you start doing the quarterly taxes, boy... I mean, you can't just, it's not willy-nilly. When the state starts sending you letters, I've said this before, years ago, I don't know what the fuck was going on, but I would get letters from the state almost every other week saying, you made a mistake. We have people doing our sales tax. We pay people to do sales tax. We pay people to deal with all of the, we basically have like a direct, like an accounting division in this company.
Right?
Pardon me?
Bookkeeping?
We have a company. I mean, my business partner has a bookkeeping company. So we hire them to do all of our stuff. But I would get these like crazy messages that, you know, saying that you owe $15,000. What? Where did this come from? And then we would send it to the accountant, and then we'd send it to the bookkeepers. The bookkeeper said, oh, they made a mistake. And then they would send a letter, and then they would, and then the city, and then the state would write back, oh yeah, we made a mistake. A fucking big mistake. You know, I mean,
they're just giving you the shakedown,
bro.
Who's gonna pay?
It's a fucking net. They throw out the net and they're just trying to get people to pay. So every time those things would come, I would scan it, send it to the bookkeeping company. They say, they don't know what they're talking about. I'll take care of it, and they would take care of it. But the weirdest part would be every 2 months, I would get a very, very aggressive message from the Department of Treasury in New York State saying we did this wrong, we did that wrong. And it was like, I'd have like heart palpitations. I had like a fucking paper bag in the car just for the letters I'd get from the goddamn state. And obviously they were all taken care of, but there's so much bureaucracy involved, and there's so much, frankly, criminality and corruption and bureaucracy that it's just like, why bother? And if you don't want to fucking register and you don't want the headache, don't do it.
I could see you like Bobby Bacalao, like blowing into a paper bag saying, "Oh, my agenda."
That was what it was like. I was like, "You gotta." I'd open the mail and be like, "You gotta be fucking kidding me." And I'd take a picture, send it to Tony, and say, "What the fuck is this?" And he would be like, "Ugh, send it to Megan. Well, she'll take care of it." Yeah. And she'd take care of it. But it was just like scary because it was like, there was one time where they said, "We're sending someone over. Somebody will be stopping by to talk to you about what you owe." And I was like, "What are you talking about? We pay everything. Everything was taken care of. It was a mistake." And I'm like, "I'm not sticking around for some fucking
sending somebody over.
We're sending somebody over. Are you crazy? Don't send anybody over. We're taking care of it." Oh God, New York State and me. I swear to God, this state. Oh my God.
The moral of the story is don't give the government your money.
No,
send it to Combat Abrasives and save yourself 15% when you check out using Knife Talk 15 at combatabrasives.com.
That was Mareko Mamasi, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, New York State, Jeff Fader pays his taxes. Trust me, Fader Knives is all, we're on the books. Oh my God. But for sure, go get a Combat Abrasives. I actually just got some stuff from Combat Abrasives. And when you put in that Knife Talk 15, yeah, 15% peels off and it's like madness. So
put it back in your pocket. God.
No, I'm back. Right. I swear to God, this state is killing me.
I bet you got a good answer for this next one. You want me to read it?
Go ahead.
Steve Lockhart has a question about G-Carta. He says, "I just started using it recently, and it seems to take a lot of effort to get rid of the gray/white epoxy out of the fabric to get the color to pop. It has forced me to up my slack belt grinding game, and that has helped. I think I've stopped at 220 grit on the grinder and gone to hand sanding and seem to spend way too much time around 600 to 800 grit."
Yeah.
So he's having a hard time with the G-Carta.
I love G-Carta.
I love
Greg,
it too.
Greg Hansen's the man, and I'll tell you what I know, and then I want to tell you our friend Jordan Danz. Jordan Danz is, let's see, Jordan Danz is JD_CustomKnives. In his highlights, he has done a tutorial on how to finish G-Carta. Mm. Now, G-Carta is very similar to Micarta, but it's fabric and resin, but then what they do is with heat and pressure, they create a loaf. Now, it's not like, you know, like natural tan micarta where it's flat layers. They're different designs, and some of it looks like coral, and some of it's crazy, and some of it looks like tie-dye, and it's really crazy. And then they'll make a loaf, and then they'll cut slices off, and then the mm-hmm. slices will be the slabs and scales and stuff. And it's really great. It is tricky to work with only because it's not as like wood is easy to work with. If you were using a pair of wooden scales, I mean, you're knocking that out. Or even a piece of G-Carta is knocking it out. But what happens is you really have to kind of really be, it makes you better at finishing a knife or finishing the sanding because you really have to be careful on how you're sanding it, because what you don't want to do is you don't want to just buzz through and then realize you have a 220 scratch that you missed and then you're already at 800. So what you got to do is you just got to go really, really slow and then hit it with some acetone every so often or some Windex and then just look for the scratches. And then you just take your time and go down the grits. We grind it down, and then on the slack belt I go down to 800 and then we'll finish hand sanding it. We'll go back to 220, 400, 800, and then I don't buff it because a lot of the handle materials, the G-Carta material is very light. And anytime there's any light material, whites or yellows or even light pinks, the buffer, no matter how clean it is, it always kind of drags. It smears your brass. If you have brass Corbys, it'll smear the brass into the things and it's a wreck. So go to Jordan Danz's highlights to get a really, really fine, detailed, very, very detailed way on how he does it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just a question of slowing down and kind of really sticking with the grits until you don't see any scratches before you go to the next one.
Sure. Something that I just started doing recently, So when I'm hand sanding my blades, I usually am using actually kind of the same stick that I would hand sand my knife with the sandpaper and everything on there, just to kind of scrub it up. But I've noticed with that firm backing that the sandpaper has a tendency to load up a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And so I put a foam backing behind it. So I have these Durablocks used in auto body, and like sanding and paint prep and all that kind of stuff. And so this rubber backing has made a huge difference. And especially in regards to how effectively the sandpaper is cutting and how long it lasts, because it's not loading up, because it's not driving that abrasive into the surface. It's kind of more passively abrading, and it's way more, it feels very counterintuitive, but a softer backing, even just your fingertip with sandpaper, is going to make a huge difference versus having a more dense or harder backer for your sandpaper. And if you're going to get sandpaper, what kind of
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy California red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA choice boneless beef chuck roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sandpaper you're gonna use, Jeff?
Oh, are you kidding me? What a setup! I just want to wait. Hold on a second. That was you gave that was silver platter shit right there. I'm gonna go to Texas Ferry Supply and get myself a grip of Indos USA's Rhino Wet. Rhino Wet is the best stuff ever. And if you're going to hand sand your blades, if you're going to hand sand your handles, if you're going to use it for G-Carta or Micarta G10, get yourself some of that Indos USA. And what you're going to do is you're going to go to Texas Farrier Supply, and you're putting the promo code KNIFETALK10, and you get 10% off everything. All your farrier supplies, all your blacksmithing supplies, bladesmithing supplies, knifing supplies, go to Texas Farrier Supply. And they have an event coming up, and let's just talk about this event.
Oh, let's hear it.
The event is called, it was erased for some reason.
Oh.
It was erased.
Drum roll.
But I know what it is. It's Blade Fest. Texas Ferry Supply has got an event called Blade Fest, and it's November 16th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Go to Texas Ferry Supply, texasferrysupply.com, or you can even email sales@texasferrysupply.com. If you're interested in becoming a vendor, vendors are welcome, or more information. They're going to have, it's a free all-day event with knife-making demos and vendors. Lunches will be provided, and Texas Ferry Supply will be open all day. Live demos from Jay Nielsen, Shelly Jack, Eric Rivers, Gerald Harper, Joe Curtis, Chris Jones, and many, many more. Explore incredible vendors, connect with various companies, and learn more about their awesome products. Go to sales@texasferriersupply.com. Email them. It's at, pardon me, Kennedale, Texas. Don't worry about that.
Fucking Barney.
Don't worry about that. Yeah, don't worry about that. Kennedale, Texas, Blade Fest, November 16th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Remind me of Barney from The Simpsons sitting there at the bar.
I don't know. That's a Howard Stern thing, is to throw a to throw a burp in every so often.
Baba Booey?
Dude, Howard's my guy. Still my guy. We have listener feedback, if you want to change up a little bit.
Sure.
We get listener feedback. Yeah, we have more questions. Let's do a little listener feedback. If you're on Instagram, like most people are, and you go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, you can send us a message and send us some feedback. This is some helpful feedback from our friends at Walker Knives. Walker Knives says, "Hey guys, I just had a call with IG support, Instagram support. We're talking about Instagram and the issues that knife makers are having. Mm-hmm. I had a call with Instagram support through Meta Verified that I thought might be worth sharing. I had been out of IG jail for a while. People say Instagram jail. I think it just means they're just not getting, they're getting the orange dots and can't support you. They're not, you know, incarcerated. I get that a lot. I was put back in, so I reached out for support, and they told me it was a direct result of a single post I had made a few weeks ago in which bullet casings could be seen alongside one of my hunting knives. Interestingly, they told me that posting knives shouldn't actually be an issue as long as the caption that's associated with it makes it clear that the knives' intended use is for hunting, fishing, and etc. If the intended use of the knife isn't clear, then the AI might flag the post as suspicious under their weapons monitoring. Mm. Also, I deleted the post while on the phone, and IG rep was able to reset me to all green checks. I even had about four other posts that were flagged under my account status at the time, and they said that they weren't actually an issue, and it was just one past one. Here's some food for thought. You guys rock. So, I've heard people spending time talking to people at Instagram. I'm not interested. Right now, I'm getting more interaction than I ever have had in the past few years. And I have one reel that's at almost... It's at 930,000, almost 40,000 views.
Is that the pizza
one
still?
And I've still got that pizza still going. And boy, you were talking about how you get problems. I get fucking wackos saying shit to me. We could talk about that. Mm-hmm. I'm skirting the issue. I've never used the word knife in my posts for years, only because I figured that was a problem. So I say stuff, I say K-tip, I say, you know, I say words around the whole thing. But I still have the orange dot saying they can't provide. I still, you know, try to appeal, but to no avail. But I'm getting good views on my reels. Like, I'm getting good. I mean, you know, obviously I got to shuck and jive a little bit. But I'm not really going to change gears. I'm not going to fight it anymore. I'm just going to, because obviously there's workarounds, because I'm
yeah, you're
perfect
getting,
examples.
You're getting
working
eyeballs
around.
with orange dots. So
I'm getting guys now who are, I don't know what the fuck the problem is.
Let's hear it.
They're writing stuff like, what is this shit? I mean, it's like, what is this shit? That's disgusting. I had another guy who wrote on it this weekend. I was just happened to be up in the morning. I was looking at a guy writes, this is painful to watch. What? What are you talking about?
This is like a throwback to when you were on the Epicurus video.
Oh, yeah. I was definitely getting those vibes. This is painful to watch. It really wasn't painful to watch. But the hilarious thing is like most of the people who say awful things, they have a private account, which is obnoxious, right? So he obviously can't see. So the guy right writes, this is painful to watch. I went to his Instagram page, and it was fucking painful to watch. It was memes, you know, he ripped off. And then there were these ones of him sitting in a car. Every finger on his hand had rings, including his thumb. Tasty. And he was saying, hey, everybody, what's going on Wednesday? I don't know. He looked like a fucking drug addict, frankly, respectfully. And he was like, hey, guys. And all he said was, this was his post. Hey, guys, subscribe to my YouTube channel, man, and subscribe to my Instagram. And I'm looking at it, and that's all he said. He didn't say anything other than subscribe to my YouTube channel. And I just walk in, and then another post, he's got his sunglasses on, he's walking down the beach. I'm just walking down to the beach, man, subscribe to my YouTube channel. And I just wanted to write, this is way more painful to watch. Yeah, but then Jesus. I thought to myself, like, I can't get involved with a back and forth with anybody.
No.
And I'd rather go and bitch about it where I get paid, which is here. So I'm not going to waste my energy with these people, but I still cannot believe what people get in their heads to say about something that really has nothing to do with them, or it isn't even that bad.
No, it's fine. And all you can do is just laugh at them, because what they're doing is they're actually helping your stats on the fucking video and the algorithm, because they not only are they looking at it, they're spending time watching it, which they're clocking your time, but then they're commenting on it, which is even bigger of a data point for videos, which is helping to push it out to more and more people.
I'll tell you what's the craziest part about that fucking video is if you look at the stats, like, that you can't see. If you were to the amount you want, here's how much watch time on that stupid 30-second reel. Mm-hmm. Here's how many. If you were to watch all the times it was watched, this is how long that fucking reel was played. If you wanted to watch as many times as it's been watched, it would take you 196 days, 7 hours, 27 minutes, and 31 seconds.
Wow.
That's how much fucking watch time
that's how
that
they clock
goddamn
it
reel
on
is.
The backside?
Yeah. 196 days. That's fucking, talk about jail. I mean, you gotta spend jail time watching that fucking thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
You didn't give a fuck.
It's so funny, because you have, your previous one is also a pizza video.
Yeah.
And and that one's got 26.9, which is good. But the 940.
There's no fucking rhyme. I couldn't tell you. I don't have like a metric. I don't have like a reasoning. I don't understand it. I think it's weird. And the crazy part is a lot of these people think that I'm this is what I do for a living, where I'm making pizza, I guess, on the grill all the time. So, like, there's this separation from the fact that I'm just making, I just made it and it just happened to kind of whip out like that.
Yeah.
But, like, it's fucking madness, the things that people say. It's fucking madness. And I don't say it. One guy said, nobody cares. And I just gave him the cheers, you know, the two champagne glasses. You're right. I'm with you. I had nothing better to say. What am I going to do? I'm not like Otter. Otter dies in every film. He fights every single one of these motherfuckers, and he uses the content. I don't have it. I am way too fragile to spend my time waiting for some fucking, you know, guy who wears thumb rings to tell me to argue with him. I ain't going to do it. So
it's funny. A lot of the comments I'm seeing, at least from just scrolling from the top,
they're mostly positive.
They're all positive. They're all pretty positive. Yeah. So,
but you never look at the positive ones.
Yeah. No, well, and I mean, that gets into a whole thing about our brains, but we have a negativity bias in general. It's like a survival thing, and people could feed us full of nice things our whole fucking life, and then, you know, you got one idiot that talks shitty about you, and then you feel that one a lot more for some reason. And it's because it's a survival thing. We gotta teach ourselves to ignore the shit.
But
even when we say it to ourselves, we gotta ignore
it. Yeah. Well, because in your mind, unconsciously, you think that there has to be a grain of truth in it. You know, so like, the whole thing's weird. Some of the negative things, and none of them are crazy. None of them are like, go die. I mean, none of them are like, hang yourself or something like that. None of them are grotesque or anything like that. They're just like, I don't like this, you know, which is a bizarre thing to do. You know, it's just like,
I'm going to take my time to express to you how displeased I am.
I wouldn't do it this way. There was one guy who wrote like,
complaint department.
I think a guy from Italy wrote, you think you fucking found the, you know, like you discovered something. I'm like, we've been doing this shit for years. I'm like, I didn't think I discovered anything, dude. People are crazy. I don't know why I scroll and look at things, and then I send them to Ben Snore, my wife or my kid, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then it's the end of it. I don't really like, I don't like comment on it. I don't feel the need to like have any type of relationship with the reels that I'm watching. I certainly don't feel the need to review them. You know,
sure.
Like, I give this a 1 out of 5. It's like, why, are you crazy? All right, we've said enough. Unless you want to keep going.
No, it's just I used to take things personal, and I used to get up in people's faces too. And nowadays, and I take this advice from Joe Rogan. I've seen him say it a few times, and he's like, you know, people get on there, they start trolling and talking all kinds of mad shit. And from his position, he's like, I just kind of take a step back and I say to myself, wow, that was somebody's kid, and they fucked them up so bad that they got nothing better to do than to be shitty to people on the internet. And it's like, I feel bad for this person more than anything, that they're so messed up. That's what their life is. They just sit around and talk shit to people. They don't got nothing better to do. And that's kind of fucking sad.
That's a lot of emotional energy too. Because you're like taking on their like.
No, you don't have to take anything on. It's
but it's an empathy towards what you think that they're kind of piece of garbage. I always, when I see, I think to myself, I can't believe you have kids. Like, what if your kids see you do this? The kids are going to see you do this. It's like, it's kind of like, I'd be embarrassed.
Sure. Yeah.
You know? But I don't know. I kind of, part of me is, I see, so for me, all this stuff to me is business. Like, I don't feel the need to, like, if money was not an option, if I didn't have to worry about money, right, you'd never probably see me again. And I'm not saying you personally. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I'd probably do this. I'd probably make stuff, but I wouldn't feel the need to have to be a PR department, because I see all social media and even this podcast. Is this my PR department? Like, this is work for me. That's why we do it in right. work time for me.
Yeah.
Because, like, I compartmentalize it as this is some way for me to propel my business. So I don't, the personal parts, I don't get a whole lot out of. Now, this week I haven't done a lot of posting. It's just because with what's going on with the hurricanes and things in the world and all the things I got to do and all the things I'm responsible for, I'm just kind of, and we got a big Christmas order in, and I'm just kind of like, I'm just giving myself a break. But I can't understand the recreational outrage. That's a Joe Rogan thing, recreational outrage, that people have to when they're on the internet, that they have the time and the energy to just fight for nothing. I don't get it.
There's nothing to get. It's a them problem.
It's a them problem. However, I have a friend, well, a college friend I mentioned before, and she's a big mocker I won't get too far into what she is, and she's having she's going through some marital issues, and she's airing it all out on social media to embarrass her ex-partner. And it is like, you know, the Michael Jackson eating popcorn in the movie theater. It's like that. You know what I'm talking about? that meme of from Thriller. Michael Jackson's wearing the leather jacket. He's eating popcorn because he's just like, he's watching the movie.
Yeah.
It's like that. But part of me is just like, what kind of bad person am I for being a rubbernecker? I'm rubbernecking this person's tragedy.
Mm. Rubbernecker.
Right? I mean, that's what rubbernecking is.
I wonder how many people are missing that.
Do you know what rubbernecking is?
I know
rubbernecking.
What it is.
Yeah, rubbernecking is that's the great thing in New York when they would do traffic reports, they would talk about traffic on, you know, whatever. Let's say the traffic on the Major Deegan for rubbernecking. And rubbernecking is if there's an accident in the northbound lane, the southbound lane, they're all fucking opening the window and gawking with their necks, and they're looking and they're slowing down because they want to see the problem, and then that causes traffic. So it's called rubbernecking. So rubbernecking is those fucking gawkers who are looking at your tragedy.
I gotcha.
So I don't know.
I'll give you something to gawk about. You come visit me at Maker Camp.
Hey, yo, whoa, hey, yo, hey, yo.
I'm excited to go hang out with the guys at Broadback. Come gawk at me there. Well, hey, this is going to be too late. But anyways, Broadback Ironworks, those guys are great. By the time you listen to this, I've already been hanging out with all those dudes and having a really great time talking about knives in Damascus and knife making. And they are great dudes making great machines for other makers. And if you go to broadbackironworks.com, you put in Knife Talk 10, you're going to save yourself 10%, whether it's on a full-on package or if it's the various tool arms. They're great machines, and again, great guys doing good work for the community. So please go give them your love and support. And again, go to broadbackironworks.com, and when you check out, make sure you put in Knife Talk 10 to save yourself a little cash.
Look at you. Holy mackerel. That's right. I can't wait to see those guys. Here's a good one from our friend Randy Reichark. He says, I'm so sick of DMs on Facebook from people expecting to get a custom handmade knife for next to nothing. Look, if you want to pay Walmart prices for a knife, go to Walmart. What is up with cheap-ass motherfuckers on Facebook?
I think people don't know. I think that's the real problem. People don't know.
The issue is when we refer to ourselves as artists, people assume that we're starving artists and we're going to just we're looking for some sort of, you know, we're just so happy to get business. We're ready to, you know, roll through the mud to get it. We had, funny enough, one of our friends that you know, I got a message from a person who is in the oyster business, and they said, I got referred to you from your friend, you know, X, and I want you to make me this oyster knife, and it needs to be a certain way. And this person sent me all these pictures, and I was like, whoa. and then I was supposed to say, well, listen, you need to give me some more information in regards to what you want. Email goes back and forth. And then they're like, well, don't start making it yet. I'm like, don't worry. You haven't given me money. And B, I don't even know what the fuck you want. Because they wanted something very specific. And then this person just... And I only was being nice because it was a friend of ours. A friend of ours recommended them. Mm-hmm. So after a lot of really annoying emails, and then this person looked at my website and says, well, your oyster knife won't work for these particular oysters. Just like being kind of nasty, nasty too. I sent a message to our friend and I was just like, do you know this person? And then they said, no, I don't.
Oh my God.
So then I didn't, what do you say then? And then and then Allison started writing messages and then they were going to get me on the phone with this person. And then next thing you know, she didn't return my calls and it was all a waste of time.
Awesome.
You're just going to have those fucking people. And the only reason why I even engaged this person is because I thought it was a friend of ours. A friend of a friend. And that's the problem when you're friends with knife makers and they refer to you. They're all vouching for you. And then once they vouch for you, you kind of have to cough it up because otherwise you don't want that person to go back to your friend and say your friend's a flea bag.
I got you.
So you gotta it's a little bit of you want them to look good too.
Yeah, I think some of it can be that where people are trying to, take advantage of a starving artist or whatever. But I honestly think a lot of it, especially when it comes to knives, it's been like a race to the bottom when it comes to price points on knives for so many fucking years. And I think people just don't fucking know. How much goes into hand making a knife? It's the difference between fucking going to JCPenney and getting a suit and going to fucking Armani and getting a tailored suit. It's two very different things. And people don't realize that. They just don't get it. And I think it's very honest. I'm fucking one of the people to take things very maybe more personally than is necessary, and it's better to take a breath, take a step back, and be like, oh, this person just doesn't fucking know, and they're not trying to, at least trying to assume that they're not trying to. Now there might be some people who are just being jerks, but assuming the better would be to say of somebody the better of somebody that they're not trying to be unkind and that they just don't fucking know. And then that's an opportunity to educate, and they'll say probably, wow, thank you for all the information. I did not realize or understand that. I get it. I cannot afford that. Good luck. And then that's it. You just move the fuck on.
People don't know how to talk.
That's true.
I have a funny thing. I have a customer, an older customer who is very good customer. I have nothing terrible to say about him, except for I'm not crazy about their emails. And I recently posted a picture of one of the pictures from the photo shoot, and I could tell that they saw the photo shoot and said, oh yeah, let me send Jeff a DM. He knows, this guy knows not to DM me. He knows to email me. I'll get it squared away. Guy says to me, and he goes, can you remind me, I love this knife, can you remind me the angle? I'm having a hard time keeping it sharp. And then they wrote, I am a seasoned pro, and I don't know why it's so hard. I'm a seasoned pro, and I know what I'm doing. So it was along those lines.
Okay.
And I wrote back to him, send it to me, I'll take care of it. Because I'm like, just put it in the mail. It comes back. I'll get it back in the mail same day. I get it. I'll take care of it. I'll give you a tune-up. I'll give you sharpening. I said to him, I'm like, if you're going to use pull-through sharpeners, we're going to have a problem. Well, I have so many people who, even though I told them not to, they do it anyway, and then they say they didn't, when they know that they did. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yep.
So I would rather just cut it to the... And then also, I don't want to say to this person, well, you need to hold it 3/8 of an inch. The spine should be the two match boxes. And when you stood it, I'm not fucking doing that. Send it to me. I'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. But the problem is I didn't like the email because instead of them saying, which I've taken care of this guy a million times. He got an old guy. I don't know. He doesn't know. He didn't fucking listen. He had to put in the fact that he's a seasoned pro. And then it's almost as if it's somehow my fault, right? It's this is almost all of it. All of it must be my fault. You know, I'm reading into it. Obviously.
Oh, I see. So he's qualifying his.
He's qualifying because how good he is in the kitchen,
right? So it couldn't possibly be him.
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. That's how I read it, and I'm pretty sure that's how I was taking it. I showed my wife. My wife thinks she said to me, "You're crazy," but I know that I'm a little crazy too. But I know that when I read it, I was just like. I know the psychic. The when people throw things in, they're taking away their own guilt for the fact that they're inept. I mean, you kind of could have a fucking titanium fucking cutting board, and who knows? You could be using glass cutting board. There's a million different reasons why he's having a hard time sharpening it. Or who knows? I got a feeling he pulled it through the pull through sharpener, it changed the angle, and now it's impossible to sharpen. That's what I think. But however. Instead of just saying to you, well, what did you do? Instead of going back and forth and having like this fucking ping pong match from hell, I said, just fucking send it to me and I'll fix it for you for free and I'll send it right back.
Right.
I don't want to. And then no response. I mean, that's the other thing. That's what happens. It's like, you fucked this up. What are you going to do about it? And then I say, I'll take care of everything. Don't worry about a thing. I'm fixing your problem. And then there's nothing. Radio silence. And I'll get this in 6 months. He'll remember. And then he'll write the fucking same thing back. And I'll just like pound my head into the wall.
That's hilarious. I've seen a post recently where the setting's a grocery store. A lady walks in. She wants to return something she got. And the cashier's like, yeah, no problem. And she gives her money back. And then the lady who was returning the thing was kind of had this pouty look on her face. And the cashier's like, you want to fight about it, don't you? And she's like, yeah, kind of. And so then they have this whole fighting match. And then she to feel like she accomplished something. And then the cashier said, have a nice day. And she's like, thank you. And then walked away. Like she gave her what she needed. And you just took the fucking wind out of that guy's sails by saying, great, I'll fix
that. I told that story years ago where we were burning leaves and then the neighbor came over and started screaming and hollering, screaming at us the top of her lungs. I put it out. I apologized. I took care of it. And she still wanted to fight. Like she was still like huffing and puffing and she wouldn't go. She'd go on and on. I took care of the fucking leaves. I apologized profusely. I accepted the fact that I was affecting her life in some way. And then I just said, I've done everything I can do, but you just want to keep fighting. I don't know what did you, and it was very clear, and she was shocked. And I said, I've done everything. I've apologized. I've taken care of this. Why do you want to keep fighting? What else can I do? What do you want me to do? Do you want to just punch me now? I mean, would that make you feel better? But it was crazy because then she ended up coming over and apologizing, but it was very clear. She came over looking for a fight. I didn't give her a fight, and it was like this mental glitch.
Is it that lady that you broke into her house to help her?
No.
Climbing through the window?
No. God rest that woman's soul. That woman has passed away. The woman I saved.
Yeah.
The woman whose life I saved, you mean? You have to go over the back episodes, yeah. That poor woman... And I had nothing to do with her passing, by the way. Just make that fucking clear as a fucking bell.
Now yes, I took care of that one.
I saved her. I did break into her house. Yes, I did save her life. Yes, she has passed away. And no, I had nothing to do with it. So there you go. But people are fucking crazy.
Miserable. They just want to fucking fight.
It is a learned behavior. People like to fight. People want to fight. People want to fight about politics. They want to get rough. They don't want peace. People do not want peace. They want to fucking They want to feel like they can dominate someone else. It's madness. And with that said, if you want to dominate someone else, go to MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. It's your one-stop shop for knife makers, steel belts, abrasives, steels, handle materials, tongs, forges, kilns, and much, much more. They're the Canadian distributor of combat abrasives. They have all the Rhino Wet. They have all the Rhino Stick. They're the distributor of Damasteel. They have the Broadbex. They have the Gator Piss. Everything you need at MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. And if you put in the promo code no promo codes over at Maritime Knife Supply. Just go say hello. And if you buy a 10-pack of abrasive belts, they're going to give you 10% off over at MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. We're going to see him at.
He's another one. I'm excited. He's always got the snacks, the treats.
He is the cleverest motherfucker of all time. I mean, he knows. He's kind of like Batman in the sense that he always has like a contingency plan. Like he knows what he needs to do. He knows how to handle material things. He knows how to facilitate. He's got like a he knows how to navigate through the world.
Yeah.
All right. Well, where are we at? We have a little bit more feedback. Where are we at? We can answer a question or two. Here's one from Evan Davis. Evan Davis says, here's a little hobby knife feedback. Selling hobby work can be done in a way where it doesn't ruin the fun, but add to it. Set up at a local fair fundraiser, get involved in the community plus a little cash. There's no business burden to fulfill. So if people's deals, give people deals, trade with other craftspeople, or just find people to give your knives to. Use the money to purchase Patreon subscriptions. Or attend classes/events and feed the expanded hobby. Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's a good tip.
That is a good tip. And Ronald Handmade says, I love the discussion about there being time and a place for unrelated comments and jokes on social media. Oh, yeah. We could talk about this for a little bit. Basically, some of our friends who know that we're in business go and say things that don't help our business. It is mind-numbing. It's mind-numbingly stupid. Ronald says, I try not to say anything other than positive comments on business pages, particularly when they're friends of mine. Just remember, be positive in public and only be a dickhead in the DMs. This is something I will never understand either, where you'll write something and then somebody who has this kind of parasocial relationship, like we've talking about, where they listen to podcasts, mm-hmm. and then they'll start doing these jokes about something, or perfect example, my guy JD Eiler Grace Korn posted something, and then he put my name and he goes, I bet Jeff Vader has something to say about this. And then I'm just like, Jeff Vader has nothing to say about this except for this is a great job. And then I wrote to him like, yo, don't fucking use my name to stir shit up with.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Don't fucking, JD's my guy. He's my guy. I'm all with JD Eiler, but it was like, he's like, oh, I read that now and I realized that it sounded loaded. I'm like, yeah, you look like you're trying to fucking shoot me out of a cannon and I don't want this smoke, you know? So I feel as though a lot of knife makers don't, before they press send, they don't really think about how things are perceived. And when you talk shit, if you're in business and you're talking shit on another person's business page, you're not helping people's business page. You're making people question what the fuck's going on here.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a couple friends and I've talked to them in the past generally about they've expressed interest in buying a knife. And they understand like the costs and stuff, but there's never been like a follow through.
Right.
And then I'll post a knife that's finished and they'll be like, oh, that's beautiful. I'm still waiting for my knife. And I'm like, you fucking asshole. You dropped the ball. You haven't followed up with me. And now you're making it look like I'm some fucking shill who's over here making other people shit and not finishing other stuff.
Was that a Facebook post?
Yeah.
I saw that. And I immediately knew I knew exactly what it was. And I was just like, yeah, that guy's not really using his head. That's all I could think of. There's no way. Because what you're doing is you're making it seem like you took his money.
Yeah.
And you didn't give him the knife.
Yeah, exactly. And all that's ever happened is just very airy conversation.
Right.
Nothing concrete at all.
Right.
Fucking about the idea of knives and type of knives, styles that he like. Nothing else has come of it. And then he's dropping that on my pages.
Oh.
And I'm just like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah,
and I'm like deleting it as quickly as possible. I'm just like, bro, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And this is a guy who's, I think he's probably in his mid late 50s these days, but I used to bowl with him. It was like a drinking league that happened to bowl kind of situation. And he was always kind of a little shit talker, but he was a nice guy. And so he's doing that. He's using that kind of like frenziness.
Yeah.
To like be silly. But like you're saying, other people who are outside of that relationship don't understand that. And all they see is what's being said. And that's like, oh,
yeah,
that's
Mareko
weird.
Stiffs people.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, motherfucker, get out of here.
Dude, that the fucking worst thing happened to me is I posted a knife. And then this is years ago, and I even mentioned it here. And this guy says, I can't believe you, you know, you work on your own stuff and you don't work on stuff for your customers. And I'm looking for the guy's name. We're scouring.
Oh, yeah.
Tony and I are tearing the shop up looking for his order.
Fuck.
And he never fucking placed an order. And I wrote to him after like tearing the shop up.
Yeah.
Because it looks like I fucking, do we take his money? Tony couldn't realize. We had no idea. So I DM'd him and I said, I'm sorry, did we have an order with you? And he goes, no. And I said, well, what did you want? And it makes it seem as though I took money from you and I didn't make you a product. He goes, oh, I can see why. I guess I never got the email. I said, well, check your junk mail. Yeah. And then he's like, well, maybe you should send me another estimate now for an oyster knife. And I'm like, well, I don't know where we don't have all that. And he goes, well, maybe we get on the phone. And
no.
I, after all this, I wrote, this is too much for an oyster knife. And he said, I can't believe this customer service, and I don't need to take that message down. I can understand why you would think that it sounds bad, but I mean, this is no way to. And I was like, I did the first block I had ever done. And then his friend who sent him over to me, I called his friend and I told him, and he knew exactly what happened. Other people made it seem like I'm fucking stiffing this guy. And then my friend called him up and says, you're not allowed to. I'm never going to give you any suggestions ever again. You made me look bad in front of, you know, people I work do business with. But
yeah.
People don't realize, they don't fucking use their heads, and they'll write something, even if it's like nasty or if it's like, oh, it's just not professional. And even if it's trying to be funny, but people are stupid and they read it and it's like a fucking wreck.
Yeah.
You're scaring away the fish.
Yeah.
You're scaring away the fish.
I got a picture of this like big, sweet, stupid fucking golden retriever just plopping out into the fucking river or something like that.
Yeah, it's fucking the worst. And it's annoying and it just doesn't make sense. And these are the same people who bitch about the fact that Instagram is shadow banning them. There's like a correlation, a brain dead and brain dead. I mean, there's the brain dead are like coalescing. There's certain people, you know what? There's certain people who should not be on social media.
Mm.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't be on social media.
Do you have a license for that app, son?
We should have a fucking. There should be some sort of regulations on who's allowed and who's not. Some of these people shouldn't be allowed. But you know what should be allowed?
Let's hear it.
Damasteel, baby. Damasteel is the best pattern welded steel on the market that you can buy. And if you go to damasteel.se, you can check out all their patterns. And once you're at damasteel.se and then you put in the promo code KnifeTalk10, you're going to get 10% off all their stainless steel patterns. And you should just definitely check out what's going on over there. And if you want to get involved with the Damasteel Invitational, that's coming along in November. It's going to be a live podcast where we're going to be at the Damasteel Invitational with other knife makers. If you listen to the old Dimer Steel episodes, we'll be there. And there may or may not be a couple extra pieces of the Drakkar Drakkar, which is the Adamus steel build-along pieces. If you can want that, you can go to maritimeknifesupply.com. Mm-hmm. But we are all in on Adamus steel, and it's the future of knife making, ladies and germs.
The future.
What do you say we fuck around and get out of here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Right. Thank you guys for listening. Well, hopefully the rock star will be back next week, and we will see you next week. I'm fucking tired, dude.
It sounded like you just motorboated the microphone.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. Yeah. I got to redo. I did a full blast episode yesterday by myself, and okay. I didn't like the tone. I didn't like my pacing. I didn't like my tone, so I got to redo it.
Oh, okay.
Fucking sucks. Kind of a drag. I'd listened to it this morning, and I was just like, I'm a little bit too hectic. It was after that whole goddamn liquid nitrogen guy.
I see.
I got all horned up.
Yeah.
And then I had a game. The problem was I had a game plan on what I was going to talk about, and then I started to realize the time was slipping away, so I started speeding up everything.
Yeah.
And it just sounds so, the pace sounded awful, and I'm just like, ugh. I listened to it, and I was like, I'm clearly not, I just fucked the whole pace up, and now I gotta redo the whole thing.
What if you just leave it and then the next episode you address it?
I don't want to. I said some things I didn't like anyway. I just got a little bit careless.
I got you. I just started watching I just realized I just totally cut you off.
That's okay.
Watching Civil War on HBO Max.
Is it good?
Talk about losing faith in humanity a little bit.
Oh,
I don't know. I haven't finished the whole movie. I've been hand sanding this fucking knife, and so I usually have something playing on the side. And Jesus Christ, yeah, it's.
Oh, I can't take that.
Kind of dark.
I can't take dark. I need positive. I do still like we're seeing horses, slow horses. Slow horses. And then we're now in playoff baseball, and the Yankees have won one and lost one. In both games, they just played terribly. They did not play like world beaters. But I'm watching all the playoffs, and then I'm texting with different people during the playoffs, which is a lot of fun. Like a friend of mine who works for the Justice Department. He and I watch the Yankee games together, and we kind of text back and forth. And then I have a few different people I text with watching the games. It's actually really fun.
You know what I'm sad about?
Go ahead.
Butch Sullivan wasn't at Maker Camp.
Oh yeah, he said he's not coming.
Yeah.
All right.
I was a little bummed. I was messaging with him the other day, and he said he wasn't coming. I was a little bit bummed about that.
Well, Butch is a good dude. I wonder if Jesse will be there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jesse, right now, in half an hour, the Mets are playing the Phillies, and he's not having it.
Mm.
He told me they're very, 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 very good postseason games.
Okay.
And he texted me, I might not, he goes, I may not survive the fucking playoffs.
Oh my God.
Which is really funny. It's intense. People in Philly are crazy. So, boy, that, and then, I don't know what else we're going to watch. We're going to watch basketball starting up at the end of the month, and. You know, I like the sports. I like watching the excellence in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's something about that that's very, like, inspiring.
Yeah.
Like, people performing, you know, excellently under the bright lights and stuff like that.
So. Sure. That's what I like ESPN Top 10 for.
Yeah.
I like seeing the highlights.
It's cool, but there's something about.
Oh, yeah. Seeing it in the moment.
Live.
Yeah, yeah. Like, in the moment. Because it's just like, you just didn't know that was going to happen. And then, boom, something fucking crazy happened. And
yeah.
You get to see it live.
This one Nets game that was a couple weeks ago was probably one of the most exciting sports things I've ever seen in my life. That's why I used to watch UFC, because these things would happen. These fights would happen, and they were so incredible. And you felt like you were part of, like, a community that saw something live.
Yeah.
And these baseball games are the same way. Some of them are so unbelievably amazing that you feel like you're part of something. Like when Hillary and I went to a Yankee game, and we saw Aaron Judge hit a grand slam. The fucking stadium erupted like I'd never seen anything before.
Mm.
And so when you see these sporting events and you see them live, you feel like you're part of something special. And that's, I like that too.
Yeah. No, it's weird. It's a special moment. It's like you're,
right.
Yeah, it's like a tiny miracle has occurred And so, you're with a group of people who observe it.
Yeah, you feel like you're part of something. It's kind of fun. I mean, you know, other than that. So just back to Maker Camp. Are we sure that the weather is going to be okay?
We've been keeping an eye on it because, yeah, last year was fucking flooded out.
It wasn't good.
Power was out. There were potentials for electrical issues. And whatever that fucking giant dude with the cowboy hat and the trench coat, he was taking care of business. But
he was serious.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's supposed to be. So we've been watching it because we were not prepared for that last year. Sarah only brought a pair of tennis shoes and her feet were fucking waterlogged for 2.5 days after that.
Oh, God.
It's terrible. So I think she especially got the worst of it. And so she's been watching, but it looks like it's supposed to be pretty good. But
Brian House's wife, too, she didn't bring the right gear and she was miserable.
Yeah. His Sarah.
Right.
Sarah's got the rough end of it. Yeah. So I think it's going to be good. I'm hoping for decent weather just because it's beautiful up there. And it's nice to enjoy some good weather for all that. So
yeah. I'm hoping for it. And good weather would be really good.
Yeah.
You know. All right. So we're going to take another picture with Mark.
Yeah,
got to take more pictures. Did you get your copy or your book?
I haven't gotten it yet. I'm hoping
we're in there. You and I are in there.
I'm hoping he has.
You're
some
in there together. There. There's a picture of you and I in there together.
Good.
It's you're standing on the box and I'm looking up at you and making a face like I'm a little guy.
a little reversal there.
The only unfortunate. So Mark Adams' book is called 5 Years. It's the Maker Camp Portraits. And the only one that is objectionable is he posted a picture of me giving the finger. And when I interviewed him, I told him that what I don't like about the fact that he posted it is usually when people give the finger to the camera, they're giving the finger to the camera and they're not giving the finger to but the reader looks like you're giving the viewer looks like you're giving the finger to the viewer. And I said to him on the podcast, I said, Mark, I want you to know that I was specifically giving the finger to you. And only you. And I want to make that very clear because I know you said something that annoyed me. So I gave you the finger and then you just happened to take a picture of it. But the viewer is going to think that I gave them the finger. I gave Mark Adams the finger. I got to be very clear about that because otherwise it's just like I'm not like the fucking Sex Pistols where I'm just giving the big finger to every camera I see.
Just waving them around.
It was
everywhere.
Strictly for Mark Adams.
Fuck everybody.
Yeah, fuck Mark Adams. And then I get a message from that goddamn Chad from Mancraft and he goes, why did you give me the finger? I'm like, oh, fuck you. Listen to the podcast. Fuck you. Now I'm giving you the finger. For Mark Adams and Chad from Mancraft, and you'll get the finger. I think we've done enough.
I think we did it.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining us. We'll have we'll figure something out for next week. And bye for now.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy California red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA choice boneless beef chuck roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.